Amen. All right. Can we do something a little different here? Can I ask you to be seated just a moment? Amen. I asked the pastor if I could say a word. And, of course, if you listen to me preach, you know I usually say more than one word. Amen. And I have a friend of mine down in Georgia. He'll be 80 in a few days, and he's lost his ability to hear. And he kids me a lot about preaching long. He said, Brother Wells said, my wife is taking notes on your message today. She's had 25 pages. I said, wow. Amen. Anyway, I want to tell you about these couple of books. I pastored one church for 40 years in Newport, Tennessee. And we went there. I was a young man when we went, an old man when we resigned. Amen. So anyway, when we resigned, the Lord encouraged my heart to put some of the material that God gave me in print. And so I just want to tell you about them. Pastor said I could do that. I think pastor's got both of them books. I've got two in print. The first book I had printed is called The Heart of Man, and basically is a study on the heart. And you know, we say all the time, if I know my heart, you ever said that? Sure you have. If I know my heart. Well, you know the reality of that, you really don't know your heart. No matter how much you think you do, you don't. You know why? Because God's word said the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And that's Jeremiah 79, and this is a little study on Jeremiah 79. And I may have said this here before, I don't think I have, but you know, the heart of man is so wicked, the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cure it. Let that one sink in. The blood of Christ cannot cure the heart. That's why you have to be born again. That's why you have to have a new nature. Amen. That's why you have to have something new. Because God cannot repair the wicked heart of man. And if you don't believe that, if you're born again and saved by grace, all you got to do is take a look at your own heart and ask yourself this question. Why do I still think bad things? If I'm really so new, why do I still think bad things? Why do I still do things that are not right? Amen. Right. And then you'll find out why the heart's like that. So anyway, I got that in print. And then this may or may not mean anything to you, but after I resigned the church, I had some experiences that came to me that I thought would actually kill me. I mean, I really thought I would die. I had some people that I had put a lot of trust in that turned on me and did some things. It was awful. And I was sitting in a Sunday school class one morning with a pastor friend of mine was teaching. And he was teaching on Luke 22. And he's teaching about the Lord. And part of his teaching that day was Judas betraying the Lord. And so the Lord spoke to my heart and gave me the outline for the book while I was listening to him. And it's entitled Experiencing Betrayal. Have you ever been betrayed? Have you ever had anybody shaft you, betray you? Right. I'm telling you, there's nothing in this world that hurts like being betrayed. I mean, nothing. I don't care what you say. There's nothing. I'd rather have my arm broken and be in a cast for 6 months than had to go through what I went through. Right. And the Lord gave me some material on how to handle betrayal. If you've ever been betrayed, one of the temptations from betrayal is to get bitter. Right. I mean, extremely bitter. And you know what bitterness to do? I think Pastor gave this statement to me today, or last night one. Someone said that bitterness is like an acid that eats up its own container. Right. Amen. And that's what experiencing betrayal will do for you. Right. If you don't learn how to deal with it. And, of course, that's in print. And then let me tell you, these books, I don't sell them. These books are not for sale. I don't sell them per se. But if you'd like to have a copy and you'd like to donate to the printing ministry, I can do that. I mean, you know, and if you'd like to have a copy, then you see my wife. She's my secretary. Amen. Amen. She's my bookkeeper. Amen. She keeps the store. Amen. And if I was pastoring, I'd tease her and say she was my associate pastor, but she's not. Amen. So anyway, if you'd like a copy, see her. And if you want a copy and you don't want to give an offering, just tell her, and she'll be glad to give you a copy. That's truth for God. And we take no money. Everything that comes in through the love offerings from these books, they go right back into printing new material. So if you're interested in that, see her if you would. All right, tonight we're studying in several places. Now, I want you to find the places where you stand, because there are going to be several places we're going to be looking at. Are we listening careful? Number one, Numbers 31. Numbers 31. So be sure and get your track or fold a page down or something or other in Numbers chapter 31. Numbers 31. Okay, ready? Amen? I'll wear the pages, quit flipping, and then I'll figure you're ready. Okay. Numbers 31, then Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Now be sure and hold every page in every place now, because we're going to be reading and making application out of every one of these places that I've asked you to follow with us. Numbers Deuteronomy 3 and then Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy 34. Numbers 31, Deuteronomy 3, and Deuteronomy 34. Okay? Now then, let's stand. Let's stand. We'll read the Word of God to you. I'll show you where we are, and we'll start with Numbers 31. I'm going to read the first two verses in this chapter, and listen carefully now. And the Lord's the one speaking now. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Afterward shalt thou be gathered unto thy people. Now notice this again now. The Lord is asking Moses to perform one more object, right? One more thing. He said, I want you to avenge the Midianites, Israel, avenge Israel, the children of Israel, of the Midianites. And after that, you're going to die. Is that right? I mean, is that what you get out of it? Yeah or no? Okay. So we're getting out of that. All right, so God's asking him to do one more thing, and then you're going to die. Now then, we're going to Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy 3. So from the one we just read, we know that Moses is not far from death, right?
Right.
He's not far from dying. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 3, let's read from verse number 21. And the Bible says, and I commanded Joshua, and this is Moses speaking now, I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these two kings, so shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou passest. Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works, according to thy might? Now, pause just a moment. Keep your eye on verse 24. Now, you got to bear in mind now, Moses is 120 years old.
Right.
Bear that in mind. And look what he said. Now, he at 120, he said, Lord, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness. 120 years of experiencing God, he said, you just started.
Amen. Amen.
Can you imagine if Moses had been dead 2,000 years, like we said this morning in the message, if he had been dead 2,000 years, I wonder what Moses has found out in the last 4,000 years.
Amen.
If he learned how great God was those first 120 years. Now look on verse number 25. And he said, I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward, and northward, and southward, and eastward. And behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua, and encourage him, and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Now then, let's go to Deuteronomy 34. And let's begin reading verse number 1. Deuteronomy 34 and verses number 1. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, all of Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain, and the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Man, wouldn't Charles Atlas love to know how he did it? Amen. You be seated. Let me pray with you. Father, we're loving you today, and we're thanking you for Jesus, our Savior. Father, I cannot thank you enough for what Christ did by coming and shedding his blood and being our sacrifice for our sins. And now, Father, I want to thank you from the depths of my being for God taking my place, suffering for me, bearing my sin in your own body on the tree, for being buried and raising again. And now, Father, I'm deeply grateful for the day you saved us. And, Lord, we come into the knowledge of what you did. And I want to thank you for the opportunity we have tonight to stand here and represent you and to try to magnify your name and, Lord, to try to expound your word a little. I'm going to ask you now, Father, to bless this church. I pray you bless Pastor, give him leadership, give him guidance, put your hand upon him. And, Lord, I ask you to bless this church abundantly. And, dear God, I'm praying the things you have planned in the future would be so marvelous that, dear God, those that hear about it, their ears would tingle and they would stand in amazement at what God's doing. I would pray for Sister Hall tonight. You touch her. And for Brother Hall, God, minister them in this stage of their life. And, dear God, may you cause the glory of God to rest upon their spirit. We will honor you for what you do in Christ's name. Amen. So, you be seated, if you will. I want to bring you tonight to this passage. I've got something I want to say to you. And what I'm going to try to do tonight, if you'll listen, and if you will apply what God's going to let me say tonight, it will absolutely transform this church into a much better church than what it is now. Amen. So, with that in mind, what we dealt with, we're reading what happened to Moses in his last days. Now, back, if you held your place there, you look back in the chapter, Numbers 31, and what God's doing here in verse 30, in verse 22, he's giving Moses a last chance to serve him. Now, the difference between Moses and you is this. See, God told him what he wanted him to do, and he said, this is your opportunity to serve me the last time, and when you finish, you're going to die. Now, the difference between Moses and you and me is that we don't know when we're going to die. Right. Now, and since we don't know that, then we don't know when our last opportunity to serve him will be. Right. So, with that in mind, do you think it might be a good idea to serve him diligently and faithfully every day? Amen. By doing that, we will be doing right and we'll be ready to die when God calls our number, so to speak. So notice in verse number 1 and 2 what God's given him a chance to do. He's given him an opportunity to serve him by avenging these Midianites, that neighbor that have done a very evil thing to the nation of Israel. So God here is asking him neighbor to avenge them. He did not. Now, you may or may not remember what they did. But when the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, headed toward Canaan land, there's the Moabites under Baal. Maybe his name, I can't remember his name now. But anyway, the king of Moab and the king of Midian got together and hired this guy named Balaam. They brought Balaam in to curse the children of Israel so that God, they could overcome them and defeat them. Well, as it turned out, God would not let Balaam curse them, but God turned the curse into blessing.
Amen.
Amen. So, but what happened was that Balaam gave counsel to the Midianites, to the Midianite women, for them to seduce the Israelite men to bring them in to the heathenistic worship. When they brought them in to the heathenistic worship, the pagan worship, God cursed them. There was 24,000 of the children of Israel died even in that event. And so, but when they, and God did not forget that. I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. You better hear what I'm about to say. Baptist churches are notorious for people rising up and creating havoc in the church.
You're right.
Amen. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Balaam gave counsel to the Midianites to corrupt the children of Israel.
Right.
God never forgot that.
That's right.
You better hear that. God never forgot it. And on the, and you better apply that. If there happened to be someone in Island Ford that in your heart you've got some nasty ideas about creating havoc in the church, you better know this. God never forgets it when somebody tries to corrupt his people. You better remember that, because if you happen to be one that did that, male or female, and you try to corrupt the children of God in the assembly and create havoc within there, God will never forget that. And you can bank on this. Somewhere God will bring judgment on someone who tries to corrupt his people.
Amen.
So here the Midianites did that. And here, numbers of years later, God said unto Moses, the last deed I want you to perform is I want you to avenge the Midianites for what they did to my people. Amen. Right. Better hear that now. So God gave him a last chance to avenge them. And so, with that in mind, we want to go now to Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy 3, and then we'll look at verse 28. And here's the message I want to give you tonight. So God gave Moses, first of all, a last or final opportunity to perform a service. I don't know if service is the right word, but a battle. We could say a battle. It was his last battle, right? Could I say, somewhere along the way, you and I will have a last battle.
Right.
Amen. The last battle to do right. Could I inject this? You know, as you go through life as a child of God, there'll be seasons in your life where you're tempted to do something besides right. Amen. And it will be a battle on you to do the right thing. But if by chance you're accustomed to do the right thing along the way, the last battle you have to do right will not be so difficult. Amen.
Amen.
Now in Deuteronomy 3, in verse number 38, are you looking at it?
Yes.
Are you sure? All right, now then watch verse number 28. Now hear what God's doing. He said, but charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people. He shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Now, you know, we read where Moses could not go over. So he will not get to experience that land. He will see it. But Joshua will be the one that goes over the Jordan River and helps the children of Israel to conquer and divide the land.
Amen.
Right? Amen. So now then, here's what God is doing. He's giving Joshua one final opportunity to perform a service to another person. Look at now. He said, verse 28, this is what I want you to do, but I want you to do it to one man. I'm not asking you to do this to the whole nation, but I'm asking you to serve me by serving this one man. Amen.
Right.
Look at it. I mean, it's right there before you. He said, Moses, I want you to charge Joshua, to encourage Joshua, and to strengthen him. That's what I want you to do. I want you to perform a service for Joshua. Now then, with that in mind, here's what we're looking at. We're looking at Moses' final opportunity to perform a service to somebody else. Do you know how you serve Christ? You serve Jesus by serving somebody else. Amen. Your prayer time and Bible reading is done for your benefit, but you cannot serve Christ without serving somebody else along the way. Is your pastor serving the Lord? Yes, he is. Well, how's he serving? He's serving by serving you. He's serving by reaching for somebody else and by serving someone else. You know how you serve him? You don't serve him by praying. You don't serve him by reading the Bible. What you're doing by reading your Bible and praying, you're ministering to your own soul. You serve him by reaching and serving somebody else along the way. If I am an isolationist and I draw that circle around me and say me here and me ain't going nowhere, I will serve nobody. I will be of no benefit to anybody else. Now I don't know if you got any help this morning or not, but my heart was blessed just by preaching to you. Well, what if I had all that stored up in me? What if I had all that material stored in my heart, stored in my spirit, and I sat home and looked at the wall and I said, hallelujah, glory, glory, glory. What good would it do? I mean, would I have benefited anybody? I would not benefit anybody. You know why? Because I was not reaching for somebody else. Right. Now then, notice if you would, in verse number 26 of Deuteronomy 3. Look back in verse 26. Now bear with me a moment. I'm going somewhere, but you won't see it till I get there. Amen. So let's first of all, I want you to notice who is asking him to serve. Look at verse number 26. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes, and he would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. Verse 28 now. And he said, charge Joshua. So it's God that's asking him to serve. Is that right? Is that right? Is God the one that asks you to serve?
Yes,
amen. Yeah, the pastor may remind you of it, but it's God that asks you to serve him and to do right by him. Is that right? Now then, I want you to see. Let me ask you this. Now Lord help me not say this right. If God's asking him here to serve, let me ask you, did God really need Moses? Now think that through. Did God really need Moses? Or was God being gracious to him by giving him one more opportunity to serve?
Amen.
God does not need you.
Right.
You better understand. God's not desperate for you. Do you understand that? God can carry his work on, neighbor, without you. He's done it for centuries.
Amen.
He'll do it after you're gone.
Sure.
Amen.
Amen.
So if God is asking me to serve him, it's not because he needs me. It's because he's given me an opportunity to do something for him. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So you're talking about a God, that the creator like we talked about this morning, asking me to do something for him, not because he needs me, but because he's being gracious to me and giving me a chance to do something for him. Amen.
Amen.
So notice, now, so how bad does God want to use you? How bad does God want you to serve him? How bad does God want you to do something for him? All right? I want you to notice this now. Number one, now, I don't know if you can turn, you can find, you not have a difficult place, difficult time turning some of the scripture, but listen to Deuteronomy 34:7. We read it a while ago. Moses was 120 years old. Amen. You know about reach that age? I knew a man that was about 119, but I've never met anybody 120. Amen. Oh, Brother Acre, you remember him? Oh, Brother Acre, wasn't he 119 when he died? Amen. And so I've never met anybody 120. So here's a man that's 120 years old, and God is interested in using him. Oh, buddy, amen. So God is interested in using you and I, no matter how old we are. So, Brother Wills, I'm in my Social Security years now, and so my fight is about out of me, so God surely doesn't want me to do anything for him. Baloney.
Right.
Don't use them SS checks, maybe to bow out on God. Amen.
Yeah.
Don't use your age to bow out. Here is a man that's 120, and God wants to use him.
Yeah.
Wow. Don't find no crutch. Don't find no excuse. God has a man at 120, and God wants to do something with him. That puts every one of us in the same ballpark. Amen.
Amen.
God wants to do something for every one of us in this building. He wants us to serve Him and do something for Him in our old age. Amen.
Amen.
Notice this now. Notice now in that Numbers 27 again, and we didn't turn there, but listen to it now. Here's what God said. God said, for you rebelled against me, against my commandment, in the desert of sin, in the strife of the congregation. Remember the story? The children of Israel crying for water, and God showed him a rock, remember that? And he said, smite the rock, and he smote the rock, and water gushed out. Well, the second time this thing came up, God said to him, go to the rock, speak to the rock, and Moses, being so mad and so angry, he went to the rock and he said, must I give you rebels water? Bam, bam, and he smote the rock. And God said, because you did not sanctify me before the congregation, he said, I will not allow you to go in the land of Canaan. So here's what God did. God was disciplining him for his rebellion. Are y'all listening to me? Is anybody in this congregation, and I know the answer, anybody in this congregation feel that you're equal with Moses? No, I could never be equal with Moses. He's a much greater man than I ever even think about being. And God dealt with him and disciplined him. What makes you think God won't discipline us when we get crossed up? Amen. So here's a man, Moses, and he's got crossed up here with God, and God is disciplining him. The discipline is, you're not going to go in the land of Canaan. Is that right? Now wait a minute. If he's not going to go in the land of Canaan, then his discipline is lasting from the time God gives it until he dies. In other words, he's living under the discipline of God. Are you listening to me? Has anybody, don't shake your head, don't even indicate, but has anybody ever had God discipline you? Anybody ever had God rebuke you and God chasing you and God discipline you? Not me, Brother Wells, then you're not saved. That's right. God said plainly, whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son he receives. Is that not true? That's true. God does. But here's my point now. Here's a man that's under the discipline of God. You can't deny that. Matter of fact, some people preach that Moses committed sin unto death. Well, I don't know if he did or not, but here's one thing I do know. I know it's under discipline.
Right.
Are y'all hearing me tonight?
Yes.
Moses is under the discipline of God, but God still wants to use him even though he's under discipline. Man, did y'all hear that?
Yes.
This man is under discipline, and God still wants to use him while he's under discipline. Amen. So you can't grab the crutch and say, God can't use me, I'm under discipline, I've disobeyed God and this and this. No, no, no. God wants to do something with everybody in this building. I don't care who you are, how young you are, how old you are. God wants to do something with every soul in this building. Amen. So God's using him, won't use him, in spite of his days, in spite of his discipline. And then Numbers 31, we read that, said, after you do that business with the Midianites, said, you're going to die. So Moses is looking in the face of death, and God still wants to use him.
Amen.
Are y'all listening to me? He said, Brother Wills, I'm dying with cancer. God can't use me. Don't give me that. Son, here's a man that's going to die, and God still wants to use him. Amen. Y'all ever heard the name B.R. Lakin? You ever heard that name?
Yeah.
B.R. Lakin, I was listening to one of his messages one day. He's preaching a revival meeting in Kingsport, Tennessee. And the pastor he's with took him to the hospital where this man is dying with cancer. When he got there, the man neighbor, he went in, he and the pastor going to go and encourage the man. When he got in there, the man said, Pastor said, I want to tell you, I've been in the hospital room here for so many days. I don't know what he said, but that's for the insurance, you know, provided, you know, an exit paper for you. Amen. So here in the hospital, he's got cancer, he's dying. Here's what he said. Pastor, when I am so thankful I'm here. Well, I've been here, I've led 50 people to Christ since I've been locked down in this hospital. Him dying with cancer, and God used him while he's dying with cancer to win people to the Lord. Y'all hear me? No matter if you're dying, no matter if you're dying tomorrow, God can use you today in some capacity. Amen to God. Hallelujah. John, that does my heart good. Bless your name. Now then, now stay with me. I hope you don't dream about tomorrow's work right now, but stay with me a minute. Now I want you to look what God's asking him to do. Look back in verse 28. Now look, Deuteronomy 3:28 is the verse I'm looking at. Now I want you to look and see, neighbor, the person God is asking him to serve. Now, somebody said, well, Brother Wills, they hurt my feet. I'm not going to serve them. Do you know, I'm not going to serve them. They hurt my feet, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, whatever. But look who God is asking him to serve. All right, number one, the Bible says, but charge who? Help now. Don't be afraid to say it out loud. Charge Joshua. Amen. So he's asking Moses here, the leader, to serve Joshua. Is that right?
Right.
God, stay with me now. So Joshua, who is he? Well, number one, he's a soldier. Is that right? And see, Moses asked him to go fight with the Amalekites. Is that true? Amen. So Moses, Joshua went out and he fought with the Amalekites. So we know he's a soldier. Number two, he is a seer. Now listen to this one now. You remember the story in Exodus 33 where Moses in the tabernacle and God spoke to him face to face and Moses left and the Bible said Joshua stayed in the tabernacle. You know why? Because Joshua was seeking God. See, this man that Moses is going to be serving here was a soldier, but he was a seeker. He was a man that was seeking God. Number three, he was a spy. You remember that story, right? He was a spy sent over across the water to, you know, spy the land. But number four, this is what I want you to get. Are you listening to me? Moses asked to be ministering to this guy named Joshua, who was a soldier, who was a seeker, who is a spy, but here's what the Bible said. Are you letting me read it to you? Moses rose up and his minister, Joshua. Did you get that? Moses rose up and his minister, Joshua. Joshua was a soldier, he was a spy, but he was a minister. What does that mean? What does it mean that Joshua was a minister to Moses? The word minister is a servant. He is a water boy. He is a gopher for Moses. Are you hearing that? Moses, yeah, Joshua's not a slave, but he is a servant of the man of God.
Right.
Are y'all hearing that? That is important. God is asking Moses to get down there on that low level now and minister unto the servant. Amen. Now, so what if God asked you not to minister to big boy here? What if God asked you to minister way down here?
Right.
Amen. So what? Whoa! I want to give you an illustration. I was in this church preaching. Come on, listen. I was in this church preaching, and the choir was up singing. I'm down here waiting to preach when they get done. So right in the front row. Right in the front row, there was a little girl that was standing by her mother. A preacher said to me, see that little girl standing by her mother? I said, yeah. He said, she is brokenhearted over the death of somebody. I don't remember who it was, maybe grandma. I can't remember what it was. But he said, she's just brokenhearted. That's why she's hanging to her mother. Well, I just took his word for it. In just a few minutes, I saw her. Now, I'm not going to be ugly. In just a few minutes, that little girl in the choir, she vomited right there on the stage where they were singing. Are you listening? And the man leading the choir was her daddy. And he just kept leading the choir, and the daughter would stand there, and there it was. There was another girl here who was her younger sister. No, she was her older sister. That little girl, her older sister, got her by the arm, led her out of the auditorium, and took her to the bathroom. And she came back in a few minutes with some paper towels. And this young girl, sweetest thing you ever seen, got down on her hands and knees while the choir's singing. And she started cleaning up the vomit that was in the floor while the choir was still singing. She took that out and she came back in a moment with some more material and she started working to clean the rest of it up while the choir was still singing. She was down on her hands and knees in front of the whole church, in front of the choir, and she was serving.
Amen.
She was taking care of the mess her little sister created.
Right.
She was, she had the sweetest spirit you ever seen about her.
Amen.
Amen. And when service is over, I called her to me. I called her up and I said, "Sweetheart, come here." And I brought her up the chop. No, it's before the service started. I brought her up when I got in the pulpit and I said, "Come here." And I acknowledged her before the congregation and I gave her a $20 bill. Amen. Say, why? Because her spirit of service. She had a spirit of service about her. That neighbor didn't care. No matter if it was her sister's vomit or anybody else's vomit, she went to do that in front of everybody and clean the mess up. That is a spirit of service for the Lord. And she deserved to be honored. She deserved to be acknowledged for that spirit of service. God is asking Moses to go get down there and serve that guy that's been pouring water for you.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. So God's asking him to serve this lowly guy. Now, I hope you listen to me now, in a moment. Now, I want you to listen. Now, let me run this by quick. Remember what Joshua is going to be. Joshua is going to be the selected leader of Israel. He's going to be the soldier that's going to lead Israel. Matter of fact, he's going to be the spiritual leader because the Bible gave several places where Joshua is commanding the priest, which means if he's giving orders to the priest, he must be the spiritual leader. And Moses, and this is what this guy is going to be coming. Now, I want to give you this now. Listen carefully. This is important. What I'm about to say is important. Do you know what Joshua's going to be doing? For, look here now. Moses left Egypt at the age of 40, right? He stayed in the backside of the desert for 40 years, and God called him and sent him back. For 40 years, Moses has dreamed of crossing the Jordan River and subdividing the Canaan land to the tribes of Israel. That's what he lived for. That's what he desired. That's what Moses lived for. He had to cross that Jordan River, lead that family across Jordan, and subdivide the land for the tribes of Israel. That has been his life. That's what he's lived for. Every day of his life was lived for that object. You listen to what the Bible said? Joshua 1:6. Be strong and good courage, for unto this people, and God's strong to Joshua, for unto this people, Joshua, and I put the word Joshua in there, to divide the inheritance of land, which I swear on their fathers to give them. Are you listening? What Moses is being asked of God to do is to serve the man that is going to get to do what he has lived to do. Get that. I mean, the very object of Moses' life is to lead these people across Jordan in the land of Canaan, conquer the land, subdivide the land. That's what he has lived to do. God says, you can't do it. I want you to serve the guy that's going to do what you wanted to do. Is that saying anywhere? Now, I may not mean much to you, but I'm telling you right now, God is asking this man, Moses, to do something special for the very man that's going to do what he wanted to do. Now then, let's look at something else right quickly now. Notice if you would, what he's being asked to do. Look back in Deuteronomy 3 and look at verse 21. Now let me give you this. You remember when King Saul is on the throne, and you remember when he found out that David had been. I don't know if he found it or not, but I know one thing. He knew God's hand was on David,
right.
And somehow he knew that David is going to take over the kingdom. Amen. What was Saul's response? Well, come in, David. Let me minister. Anyway, he tried to kill David. Stayed after him and stayed at him to kill him. Amen. When it was told Solomon that 10 tribes would be ripped from him, God raised up Jeroboam, and guess what Solomon tried to do to Jeroboam? Tried to kill him. So Moses knows who's taking his place. He's going to get to do what Moses wanted to do. So will Moses kill him? No, Moses is not going to kill him. He's going to serve him. Now, I want you to look what he's asked to do. Look at Deuteronomy 3:28. Now, I told you we're going somewhere, so I hope you stay with me until we get there. Deuteronomy 3:28. Notice what God's asked him to do. He says that Moses, I want you to charge Joshua. What do you mean by that? I want you to command him, to order him, show him his authority, show him his commission, instruct him, show him what to do, and get him charged up. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And he said, I want you to encourage that man and charge him up. Look what else he said now. He said, I not only want you to charge him, but I want you to encourage him. Is that what it said?
Yep.
I want you to encourage him. What does that mean? That means God wants him to kind of fortify him, to motivate him, yeah, amen, excite him, influence him, to provoke him, inflame him, and to go forward. Say, where does that fit me, Brother Wells? Where does that fit me? Are you a member here? Are you a member at Island Ford? So what do? You come and sit? And look the folks over and say, well, John's not here today. Judy's not here today. Well, I don't wonder what's happened to them. I heard this fussing at home, you know, blah, blah. And so let me ask you, would it be better? And by the way, it's small, and I don't mean this to be wrong. I don't mean for the word small to be offensive to nobody. I know what it's like. And but you are small enough to have a family atmosphere.
Amen.
You are, is that right or not?
Right.
Yes. So let me ask you something. Have you been coming to church here long enough when one of your members come in and there's a facial expression about them that's different? Have you been coming here long enough to recognize that there might be something that's not exactly right today when they came?
Right. Yeah. Sure.
So, did you just take a note of that? Or did you make enough a note of it that you came by to charge them a little?
Amen.
You came by to encourage them a little bit. Are y'all hearing?
Yes.
Is anybody trying to encourage your people here?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, when you come into the house of God, if you see somebody that looks like they're not as happy as they have been, and you're taking upon yourself to try to encourage them a bit,
amen.
That's what God's asking Moses to do. But Brother Wells, I'm a little above them. No, you're not above nobody. I don't care who you are. You're not above nobody.
Amen.
God made it clear that we're absolutely nothing is what we are without Him.
Amen.
Amen. And my job ought to be this. If I'm a member here, I ought to see if somebody there I know, their face looks different today. They look like they're carrying a burden they didn't have the last time I saw them. Looks to me like I ought to be interested in trying to encourage them a little bit. Amen.
Amen.
To God.
That's right.
Amen. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had anybody come to church on service, and before you got back, they died? You will have.
Right.
Someday you will. Someday there'll be somebody to be in the house of God. And you were just so wrapped up in your own selfish life that you did not have time to go by and speak and give a word of encouragement to them.
Right.
And they'll die, and you'll say, well, you know, I remember there's a church. Last time a church was there, you know, I remember them being there. And oh, God will strike your heart with a barbed arrow and make you realize that you had a chance to say something to them, to give them a word of encouragement, then stir them up a little bit and then challenge them a little bit while they were here. Amen.
Right.
We're going to take it upon ourselves to make sure that when our people come to the house of God, I mean, I don't mean the pastor, all of us together, we're going to take it upon ourselves to try to encourage one another when they go out that door, maybe they have a better week than they had last week. Amen.
Right.
He said, charge him, encourage him, and strengthen him. Is that what he said?
Right.
Strengthen him. Amen. Now then, here's what I want you to see. God said in Joshua 1 that Moses did what God asked him to do. So here's my question. Why did Moses charge, encourage, and strengthen Joshua when he knew Joshua was going to do what he wanted to do? Is that going anywhere? You know what it does to most of us? All right, you say, brother, that don't apply. All right, come here. So that don't apply to you, right? So what about on the job where you worked? And somebody that works less energetic than you do got the raise and you didn't. Now tell me how excited you were for them.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Tell me you were so excited about them getting that raise and they just overlooked you. And you got supervision ability and they just overlooked you and gave you that loafer. And tell me how excited you were now.
Right.
I'll guarantee you, you come home and the first thing you said to your wife, guess what they did today? Amen. You want it? Because it bothered you.
Right.
That somebody was preferred before you. What about Moses? God, in a sense, is preferring Joshua above Moses in this situation here. And Moses is doing what God wanted him to do. Why? Why? That's my question, is why? Y'all listening, aren't you? Let me tell you why. To Moses, the overall project of God dividing the land among the children of Israel was more important than anything. Are y'all hearing what I'm telling you?
Yes, sir.
Moses looked at the overall project. He looked at the whole project and he said, it's more important that the overall project of God be accomplished than I murmur and grumble about not getting to lead them across.
Amen.
Amen. Are you listening to me today?
Yes, sir.
What's the... let me just run this by you. He accepted his restriction. And you know, I know some preachers that disqualify him, and they will not accept their restriction.
Right.
They will not accept that. They've got to create havoc everywhere they go. Amen. And if you happen to be one that's double married or disqualified, why don't you accept your place where God's put you and serve Christ right? Amen to God.
Amen.
And I make no apology for the Word of God. That's just how it is. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Moses accepted his restriction.
Yep.
Amen. So, if I sing like Barney Fife, okay? So what if I sing like Barney Fife? And they're forming a new quartet down their church. And I tell you, I want to sing in this quartet. Have you heard yourself sing lately, Larry? Well, why don't I accept my restriction for the good of the whole body? Woo-hoo! That would be for the good of the whole body. Amen. So, here Moses accepted his restriction. He accepted God's recourse, let him look over in the land. He accepted his release from leadership.
Right.
Listen to me. Y'all listen to me tonight. He accepted his release from leadership for the good of the whole body.
Right.
Listen to me tonight.
Great.
Gary Hall, yes, a man of God. I've known Gary for I don't know how long. He's a man of God.
Amen.
He accepted his release from leadership for the good of the whole body. And since the transition, saying, Gary has not tried to cause one problem in this house of God. Why? He accepted his release for the good of the whole body. Amen to God. Right, praise God.
That's right. Amen.
He accepted for the good of the whole body.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's enough. But let me ask you this now. What is the overall project of this church? Preacher? I'm not being tricky. But how do you view the overall project of Island Ford?
Glorify God.
Get the gospel out. Right?
Yes, sir.
Some churches don't have the privilege of getting the gospel out the way y'all do. You know that.
I tried
to buy a radio station before I left our church. They wanted $500,000 for a 5,000-watt station. I just couldn't see that. God has been good this church by giving you a radio station that gets the gospel out all the time. But that is not the end of your responsibility. You know that, don't you? That is just one arm of this church. Are you working to the good of that objective?
Amen.
Are you saying, I have nothing to do about flying?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
That is one of the objectives of the overall project of this assembly.
Amen.
Where do you stand in cooperating?
That's good.
Where do you stand in helping?
Right.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
Where should you visit? You give out tracts?
Amen.
I don't know if y'all do or not. Some people do. Some people don't. I do. Amen.
Right.
What do? You witness? Why do you witness? You witness just because, you know, you want to impress somebody? Or is it for the good of the whole body? Moses was willing to do what he did, to make the sacrifice he made, because the overall project was more important than he is. And the overall project of getting the gospel out is more important than you or me or anybody else.
That's right, amen.
So where will you stand here? Where will you stand in trying to benefit the overall project of the church? You know what I found in pastoring? Those that would, the other 90% would let them.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
So much amen.
That is
about right. Pastor.
Yes, sir.
So which percent are you in? Now remember this now. Remember this. Moses 120.
Yeah.
Moses 120. And he was willing to cooperate with God for the good of the whole project in him 120.
Amen.
I like it.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So why? Because you know the Word of God said, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, God will let you be fruitful if you want to be fruitful to your dying day. So where are you? Is my preaching bored you?
No, sir.
Now, some of y'all have. I didn't pick you out. Those that are bored with me, I didn't pick you out. Oh, yeah, I didn't pick you out. I don't know who you are. And I wonder what you're really like down inside.
Yeah.
If you're not interested in the good of the whole project, I wonder what's making you really tick.
Right. Amen.
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 That's why Moses did what he did. He was more interested in the whole project than he was me being seen.
Right.
Amen. That's what every member of Island Ford will be like.
That's
every member of Island Ford will be the type of person that's working for the good of the whole project of this assembly.
Amen.
Amen, buddy.
That's right.
Amen. And if you're not... If you're not, I promise you this. It won't be long before somebody in this assembly is going to know you're not interested in the whole project.
Yep.
Somebody's going to know. It's going to slip. It's going to slip up someday. It's been so long since I've been here. I can't remember how much I told y'all. But let me tell you what happened in our church. I was there 7 years, and I thought it was going to split any day. I thought it was going to split any day. I really did. I thought it was going to, you know. I mean. And we had an issue come up at our church. We had an issue come up, and I had a chairman of the board of deacons. Man, good night, boy. Oh, man. And we come into prayer room at night, and you'd have to know our church. Our church then was, most everybody come into the basement. And the men's prayer room was the last door on the right before you went upstairs in the auditorium. And that night, we got in there, and the chairman of the board of deacons wanted to let everybody know he was fixing to chew me out. And he did. He chewed me out big time. But what he didn't know was this. When he got started running his mouth, one man came in after he started. And the man that came in left the door wide open. And the rest of the church marched in right by the door while he was spitting out his venom. It was all said and done. 3/4 of the deacon board was gone. And he had a stroke. And he laid in the bed for months and months and months. Couldn't communicate. You know why? He wanted to be seen. He was not interested in the overall project of the church. He just had to exercise his authority. And God took it from him. The good of this church is more important than anything.
Amen.
If you've got the good of this church at heart, the good of your family will be at heart.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
The good of your family will be at heart because the church will work to the benefit of your family.
That's right.
Amen. So where's the church really rated in your priorities? Well, I think it's good. Amen. I think it's important. A church will never go any farther than the priority of the church in your heart.
Right. Amen.
Why? The church has nobody else to work with but you.
Right.
You're all the church has to work with. And the church is on the low end of the rung of priorities in your life. That's how it grows.
Yeah.
That's how it develops. But if you put it up here where it belongs, where the overall good of this fellowship is more important than you, your family feelings, and your personal priorities, God will bless this fellowship beyond measure.
Amen.
I believe you will.
Yes,
amen. Let's pray. I'm done. So you're the one that's got to ask the question. You're the one that's got to give an account to God for where you stand and for what priority you have in your heart in this church. Pastor, you come if you will. Now, Father, I'm grateful today for the Word of God. I'm grateful, Father, for what You've given us. And I thank You, Lord, for those that have heard me tonight, and those that have listened. And, Father, and I know from Your Word, You said, Father, that when the Word of God goes out, that You're faithful, Lord, to let it accomplish what You sent it for. And, Lord, I'm confident in my heart tonight that, Lord, there's going to be some good that's going to develop in Island Ford as a result of this service tonight. I'm going to ask you, dear God, to do a work now, and we'll honor you for what you do in Christ's name. Amen. Pastor, amen.